everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Tom, I'm getting to see you a lot more this week.
And you know what?
What?
You're going to see me again Monday.
Oh, I am. I know, because Ray Allen, who is with us usually, engineering and producing the show, had to go to a wedding in the Bahamas. Too bad, right? So that's pretty good place if you're going to go to a wedding. So Tom will be back not only today, but on Monday. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, April the 7th, 2017. And a reminder, our program re-airs, the Friday edition re-airs on Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI. Like to do a media partner shout-out on Friday. TucsonSentinel.com, that is the publication online from Dylan Smith, who happens to be with us in studio, editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
Over the years. TucsonSentinel.com will be celebrating 8 years?
We just hit seven.
We're several
months into year eight.
You're into year eight, like we are into year seven here on the Buckmaster Show. Also, Inside Tucson Business supports our program. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiners, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Mike Varney is with us. Mr. Varney is the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Mike came to Tucson from the city of North Las Vegas, the chamber there, in early 2011, and he announced just last month that he will be soon retiring as head of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thank you very much for the invitation to be with you today.
I remember interviewing you. I had just started, really, the radio show, and we did a phone interview with you when you were up at North Las Vegas, and you had just taken the Las Vegas job. And it's hard to believe that that's 6 years already, like that.
It's really flown by.
Yeah. How would you, before we talk a little bit about your decision to retire, are you happy with what you've accomplished here?
I'm thrilled with what we've gotten accomplished here in 6 years, Bill. We feel that the local economy is in a very different place today than it was 6 years ago. We think that there's very, very good cooperation and understanding between the public and the private sector that maybe wasn't here 6 years ago. A lot of projects, big and small, that we can look back on with great pride that have really helped to move this entire community forward in our view. We are an organization of business executives, but these business executives and everybody, the 22 people who work at the Tucson Metro Chamber, are really focused on growing the economy because that's the way we grow and improve our community. So it's not just about business. It's about our entire Southern Arizona community.
And your decision was based on what?
Well, I think all of us get to a certain point in life and we start thinking about should we maybe move on and do something that we've worked our whole life to look forward to, or we've had our whole life to look forward to. So my decision was prompted, and it was a very difficult decision, which I'll get into here in just a second if you'll allow me.
Mm-hmm.
My decision was prompted principally by the fact that I've got 8 grandkids. The oldest grandchild is graduating from high school this year, and Grandpa's been at least 1,700 miles away for his entire life. Doesn't mean I don't go back and visit from time to time, which I do and I enjoy very much, but it's not the same as being there. I have absolutely zero regrets about the career that I've had here in Tucson and in Las Vegas and North Las Vegas. Very rewarding, great work, working with great people with what we think is a noble mission. But it was just time, this little wake-up about his graduation kind of prompted me to say now's the time for me to move on.
You've been working for 50 years, right?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Here's Dylan.
So looking back at what you thought needed to be done in Tucson,
sure,
when you got here, and you know, of course the economy's changed a little bit, so you know that changes the picture. But what didn't you see that needed to be done at that point, that now you've got a better idea, you know, and what still needs doing.
Yeah. When I moved here, I really did not know or appreciate, if I did know, the level of the differences in the culture between the business community and the public sector. We weren't working together. I'm not sure that our mission to make Tucson and Southern Arizona a better place to live was completely aligned. I think there were two scripts that were kind of competing with each other. I don't know that the chamber had the best of relations with our elected officials at that time. So we really set about trying to repair those relationships, build some bridges, build a higher level of understanding. When the public sector and the private sector work together, we can get a lot of things done. And there may be some purists who say, well, it should just be up to the private sector to do everything except pave the roads, provide public safety, and so forth. In a perfect world, maybe that's true. It's not a perfect world. And there are so many things that business needs to get done and that the community needs that really require all of us to work together. So I think looking back, I'm not sure that I appreciated how different the cultures were when I got here. And that really became job one. And I think over 6 years that most objective people would say that that has improved greatly.
As far as the bringing a couple of the chambers together, we've got a Hispanic chamber that's a very thriving organization. Then we have your organization, a few other chambers. Wouldn't it be better for the community if everybody was under one roof as a chamber?
Yeah. Bill, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the number of times I've been asked that this month. It's an ongoing question. It's one that we certainly have looked at and explored. Typically, that'll become a topic of discussion and examination when we do our annual planning with the board. Can we create efficiencies? Are there some things that we can do to turn what right now is a state of what we call co-opetition? We cooperate on some things, but we also know that most businesses aren't going to write 10 or 12 checks to support every business organization that's in Southern Arizona. So we know that we compete to be an organization that's above that cut line at all businesses, but we also know that there's tremendous advantage to cooperation. And it's a balancing act, and it's a more difficult balancing act than would meet the eye normally. The casual observer of that would say, well, we've got 9 or 10 chambers of commerce. We've got Sun Corridor Incorporated. We have SALC, the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and so forth. Do we really need to have that many business organizations? And the answer is, that kind of depends. There's a lot of good arguments that can be made for some consolidation. There's also some reasons why some of those organizations should stay freestanding, independent organizations.
But is it an anomaly for this area? Do I know a little bit about chambers because I've had some and do have relatives in the business. It seems like it's the segmentation here is a bit unusual, more of a protect your turf situation.
I think turf is always going to be a part of it. We've looked at creating efficiencies between the Tucson Metro Chamber and some of the other chambers that have kind of a classic chamber model in our area, the suburban chambers in Moran, Oro Valley, Suarita, and so forth. We've done a little bit of outreach there. The outreach was met with kind of a lukewarm response. I think if you live in a small community, you want to be maybe a little protective of your turf. You have a culture in that community. You have people who are perhaps closely knit and maybe don't need people from Tucson, to thrive and survive. And all of those small chambers are doing very, very well. So it's not as easy as a lot of people would think that it would be, but certainly there are some reasons to continue to look at operational efficiencies and strategic efficiencies that could be had if there was a degree of consolidation.
Dylan, a quick question before we take our first break.
I'll try and make this one quick. The Metro Chamber has really expanded its membership over the last several years.
Right.
You've grown by leaps and bounds. Has that done anything to, as you mentioned earlier, change that culture and find some common ground? And also, does having that broader membership perhaps muddle the mission or shift the mission of the chamber a little bit?
And the answer to that is both yes. It gives us many more tools in our toolkit. We've grown from when I got here, 12 employees. Now we're at 22. Our budget has our top line revenue budget's just about doubled. I think we can comfortably say that it's doubled. We're a $2.4 million organization. The next biggest organization, top line revenue wise, is $700,000. So we certainly enjoy a degree of prominence if you use that yardstick. And again, there's a phrase in chamber work that if you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber. We are all kind of different. In some ways, but similar in some ways too. So, growing the membership base has been a plus. It gives us a little bit more to talk about when we go to visit with public officials. It also kind of makes us so much bigger than the other organizations that I think in some cases they might kind of dig in their heels and say, "Well, you go do your thing, and we'll do ours."
We'll take our break right here. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Mike Varney is with us, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, our number is 790-2040. You are welcome to call right now. We'll be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apache Reyes Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery, info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back. Mike Varney is here. Mr. Varney, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber. He announced last month that he will be retiring. Is there a time kind of open-ended?
Reasonably open-ended.
Reasonably 3 years indefinite. From now, we'll
no,
still
it's
be
not
talking.
Be 3 years.
3 years. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. One of the areas that you set out to change is to improve air service out of Tucson International, specifically to the New York City area. That was successful. American did put last October, they put on a nonstop, daily nonstop into JFK, and then they've announced, to the disappointment of many of us, that they will be cutting back to a seasonal service in May. It will be basically going away.
That's correct. And we are naturally disappointed that the anticipated 12-month, 7-day-a-week nonstop, which was scheduled at ideal times,
yeah.
departing here and departing
nine,
New York.
9-something in the morning.
Absolutely, yeah. Ideal times. All of the statistics that we looked at before we went through the process of securing a revenue guarantee of $3 million to back this flight up pointed to the fact that it really should be successful. In the end, it's fallen a little bit short of the revenue targets set by American, and American has, as our agreement says they can, they've tapped our revenue guarantee fund bill. I understand where American's coming from. They have an airline to run. They are going to operate only with profitable flights. So I certainly understand their position. What I don't understand is that we need about 15 more seats filled on average for the outbound and inbound flights each day for this flight to get above the cut line, to be profitable where they would no longer need to tap the revenue guarantee fund and they would continue the service as long as the ridership was, the passenger traffic was at a level. We're 15 seats per plane short, and we have about twice as many people who still fly out of Tucson area zip codes, take a connecting flight, pay more to take a connecting flight, or they drive to Phoenix, but they live in a Tucson zip code. So there's twice as many people per day who are doing that, paying more or driving all the way to Phoenix. If half that number of people flew out of Tucson, we would not be having this conversation. So that, I guess, is probably the biggest disappointment that we have, that we've still got our own business executives and leisure travelers who are making a choice that's hurting the viability of this flight.
Mm. Dylan.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. Boy,
has anybody dug into that data? Well,
you can conjecture all day long. One idea is people either want to leave here or come back here at times other than the nonstop flights. The nonstop flight goes out, as we said moments ago, it goes out 7-something in the morning. It's an ideal time to get to New York, refresh yourself if you're going on to Europe or you have another connecting flight.
It's a new aircraft, too.
And a beautiful aircraft.
It's a new aircraft.
And then the return flight leaves New York at 5-something in the afternoon, gets in here at, depending on the time of year, the time zone changes, 7 o'clock or so at night. I mean, you couldn't ask for better flights.
And
so,
how long did this flight run before they made
October.
This decision?
October.
So not all that long. I mean, it's hard to change yeah. people's patterns.
Apparently so. And we marketed this flight as aggressively as we could. I have a big hats off to Visit Tucson, who marketed this flight in New York, which is a very mm-hmm. expensive media mm-hmm. market. And they put great resources into making sure that New York residents knew about this nonstop flight. The significance of New York is that it's the number one feeder market for tourism dollars here in Tucson. The other aspect of New York's significance is that up until this flight was begun, Tucson was the largest city in the U.S. without daily nonstop air service to New York. It's not a distinction we want, and that's actually part of why we went to the lengths that we did to get this flight.
So what is their thinking, that they will go seasonal, pick it up? They will end the daily service in May, and then they'll pick it up when?
In December.
Okay.
Yeah. Right at the on the cusp of the holiday travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our high season is January, February, March.
Mm. It just is such a disappointment because there's so much business traffic out of Tucson going to the East Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, with Raytheon alone.
Yep. Raytheon, the University of Arizona, and all of the companies that go to New York or the East Coast for various business purposes, whether they're financial or whatever. There's on paper, there's plenty of air passenger traffic going to New York every single day. It's just some people decided that they're going to take alternative flights.
You went out on a limb for H.T. Sanchez.
Sure.
Do you have any regrets of doing that for
None
the superintendent
whatsoever.
At TUSD?
No.
You took some flack in the community for speaking up for him. But
took a lot more praise, Bill.
Took
a lot more praise. Again, it's hard to go out on the public policy battlefield and make everybody happy. You have to research your position, figure out how and why you're going to support it, and then commit. And
is it hurting us, this power vacuum, which there obviously is right now at TUSD? And we had this site selectors group that came out here. These are people that make the decisions for big companies, and then they look at the major school district and they see all this turmoil. Does that play a role?
Absolutely, it plays a role. When companies decide to plant their flag in Tucson, I'll just use Caterpillar as an example, mm-hmm. but there are many others. New company wants to select the market where they're going to open a division or move a division. They look at a variety of lifestyle amenities in the community. Many of the employees who make the move have children. Those children are going to go to school someplace. So what kind of schools does XYZ community have is always at or near the top of the list that companies look at. There are many other things that they look at, so it's not just schools, but schools are always at or near the top of the list. So we absolutely have to have, as every other community has to have, quality schools so that that checkbox gets checked by the companies that are interested in Tucson.
Doesn't the decision that was just made by the legislature and the governor that's going to pull an awful lot of money out of the public school systems all over the state have a much bigger impact on that decision making than the one person who would be in charge of an individual school district?
There's, I guess it remains to be seen to quantify that. Could that happen? Sure. That could be, and it could be much bigger, much more influential than who the superintendent is. The root of education issues in the state of Arizona, and that obviously includes Tucson, is funding. We can talk about having a very small pie and how we're going to divide it up between school choice advocates and public school advocates. The pie is too small. And until we are able to fund education at a competitive level in the state of Arizona, all these little battles that we have over who the superintendent is and, you know, whether we should have school choice or not, pale, in my opinion, in comparison to putting enough money into the pot so that we can compete for public education, offer school choice, private education, whatever. We've got to focus on finding a way to fund our schools, especially our teachers, at a higher level.
Our columnist, Blake Morlock, has been pointing out for several years now that it would take an enormous influx of funding into public schools in Arizona to even get to the level of Mississippi.
Yeah.
That's how little we spend on education in this state.
Yeah. And to the credit of educators across Arizona, they probably do more with less than many school systems do. That doesn't excuse the fact that they have to work with less. And whether we're comparing ourselves to another state or just ourselves, We know we can do better. Governor Ducey has said on many occasions that economic development is his number one priority. Said to me one time personally, he said, if I can grow the state's economy, all my other problems go away. The number one X factor in local companies growing and expanding or companies coming to our community is, can we find qualified workers? We're not going to grow the state's economy anywhere near as much as we could, in my opinion, if we had higher quality workers and more of them. And that's going to happen through education.
Which is both hiring people locally and convincing people to move to Arizona. Right?
Exactly. Yep.
We'll wrap it up with you, Mike, here in about a minute. But you will be a part-time resident of Tucson.
I am. Right? I'm going to stay here in Tucson for half the year, and I'll let anybody who wants to guess which half. I'm going to be spending the other half in the area where I grew up and spent many years, which is southern Wisconsin in the Madison area. My three of my four kids live there. All of my grandkids live there. So I just want to not be 1,700 miles away anymore.
There is a feeling that Tucson is on the way up right now. I mean, there does seem to be certainly from when you started 5 years ago, there was certainly a different mood, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, Bill, if someone were to say, you know, what are you most proud of? It would be that. It would be the fact that we've come together. We've got some energy going now, and people can feel it. So hopefully once I'm out drinking umbrella drinks on the beach someplace, that whoever takes over for me will continue that momentum.
Will there be an internal search, or are you going to do how's that going to work?
That's totally up to the board how they want to handle the search. There are many options they can employ, and I'm going to support whatever they do.
They haven't done an interim, announced an interim?
Or, no, know, I'm the interim. I'm the staying interim. Until they you're make all the way through the transition.
All right. Yeah. Mike Varney, all the best to you. Thank you very much.
So much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Mike Varney, who will be leaving, it's sort of open-ended right now, the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Dylan Smith sticks around. Dan Scheer joins us. Lots to talk about. It's been a busy news week, especially with what's been going on up at the legislature. We'll be right back.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel T-U-S and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Friday program is our roundtable, the Friday roundtable, where I sit between two people who cover the news, well, almost 24/7. Pretty much it is their...
We take naps here and there.
Dan Scheer joining us from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is the editor for those two publications, and Dylan Smith has done a great job with the online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. He's also become a national figure in local media online services.
Only because I talk a lot.
Dan, I do want to say thank you for calling us. We pretty much, your website, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, did break the story about the bankruptcy of the Chapter 13 of the Green Valley Hospital, and then you shared with our listeners last Friday during the show that news. Is there a quick follow-up we can begin with?
Yeah, it's Chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
Yeah, bankruptcy reorganization, and we did a follow-up story that looked at the gave a good financial snapshot of where the hospital is, and they're up a creek. There's no doubt about it. The question is whether, if they get this debt off their back, whether they have got a plan in place going forward where they can be a lot more, I guess, profitable is really what it amounts to. And they are working on a couple of things, but they are in deep. But if you were to go to the hospital right now, there would be you would notice absolutely nothing. In fact, the guy told us flat out, I'm only telling you this because it's public record. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't even know. Huh. Of course, we've been checking the bankruptcy filings for months because we did know. But I think that they have shared some of their plan a little bit off the record with us, and I think that it's good going forward, and they will be revealing more of that as this moves on. So I think it bodes well, and they needed to get out from under this debt because the hospital was overbuilt. Everybody agrees with that. It's much, much bigger and nicer than it really needs to be. It looks like a resort when you walk in the front door, and you pay for that.
So it's not so much the operating costs of the hospital that is killing them, but the fact that they just made the place way too fancy and way too expensive on a per room basis.
Well, I've learned a lot about hospitals in this past couple of years since this one opened. And one is that not all hospitals do everything. And I think that was the assumption, was that you can go there for anything. Well, we knew that all car accident victims are going to be taken to Tucson, trauma one. They don't do that down there. Then there were a couple of other things that the services come on board as the hospital moves ahead. So there were a lot of people who were taken there and then transferred up to Tucson, and they didn't expect that. Word gets around town, and then it, you know what it all comes down to is the ambulances. Where are they going to take you? Now, you get to decide that, but they also have some say in that, and a lot of them were not going to Green Valley Hospital.
Hmm. Well, the perception would be that Green Valley, a retirement community, you would think a hospital would be the thing to invest in, right?
That's why what surprised me was the bed count. I mean, here we are, the height of our season. Actually, yeah. We're kind of ending it in Green Valley, and the hospital has 49 beds, and on average, they're filling 23 a night. And now the ER is pretty busy. During the off season, it's about 17, and so this is hurting them. They need to do a little bit of marketing, and they need to make sure that the people in the area know that they're going to be there and exactly what services they offer. And actually, they're ramping up on some more of them right now. I think pulmonary and orthopedics and things like that. So they are actually getting more services on board. We'll see what happens.
Dylan, the Board of Regents is meeting in Tucson, and probably at this hour is pretty much signing off on Dr. Robbins as the million-dollar man for Tucson. Dylan, come on. What kind of perception is all of this with Dr. Robbins and his pay and then tuition going up? What is that sending?
It's not good PR at all, is it? I mean, I haven't heard anybody say that this is a great idea. Some people are defending the decision more than others. Some people are very, very critical of it. It doesn't paint a great picture to hire one of the somebody who will be one of the highest paid public university presidents in the country, as Dan was talking about just before we came on the air.
What did you find out, Dan?
Based on the Forbes list from last July, he would be about number 6 or 7 for public universities in the nation. Number one is a woman named Rena Couture, University of Houston, whose total compensation is 1.3.
And this is somebody who is not really an academic, has never been a university administrator, really. He's run a big organization, but
The Texas Medical System.
Yeah, which is an enormous, somewhat quasi-academic organization, I guess. But is this somebody who will be an effective university president and not just doing that basic job of raising money, which is really what you hire that person to do, but also somebody who will defend the principles of the university as well?
And that's the real question here, is what is he being hired for? Is it connections? Is it business acumen? Is it that he can glad hand? Is he a cheerleader? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. He's all of those things, and we'll see how he does. And, not having the academic experience is kind of odd, to be honest with you. And this is a lot of money, as they keep saying, well, he's taking a pay cut. Well, it's not our fault. Somebody else may have been overpaying him, or that he was fully earning that, but it's a completely
different job.
It's a completely different job. So stop that argument. It doesn't work.
I think he did have some academic experience at Stanford. I could be wrong about that, but certainly where he's coming from, that was pretty much a business deal. And it's got to be attractive to the Board of Regents because of how the U of A and the banner thing that they've got going.
Yeah. But to bring in somebody from outside who doesn't have a deep connection to Tucson and this town, a central, vital institution in this town, whether you're a huge fan of everything that the U of A does or not, it's right there in the middle of our city, having an effect on all of us.
Ingrid called Dan. She's got a question for you about the Green Valley Hospital. Perhaps you can answer it. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi. I'd like to know, who are the people, the groups, what entity designed that hospital?
Well,
it's very flamboyant, and I don't like to say what I'm going to say because you might laugh or become upset, but it reminds me of the criticism that was hurled at the Pima Animal Care Center, and it seems to me that plans that are made for various things around here become exorbitant, totally unwarranted.
All right, let's see if Dan knows about the design.
Right, the decision maker on that was McDowell Enterprises, who now, as of November, is no longer involved in the hospital. They may be owed some money, so they still have a connection there, and they own the land around it. But McDowell Enterprises made that call. They spent roughly $70-75 million on the hospital. The rule of thumb is $1 million per bed, which put it at million. So it was, we knew immediately out of the gate that this thing was going to be struggling, and then their Medicare payments were delayed for much longer than they thought, which, of course, really kills them down in our area. But, yeah, why was it so big? I mean, you walk into that lobby and you think, man, you could have fit all 49 beds in the lobby. I mean, it's quite notable. And oddly enough, it is also one of the more popular restaurants in town, their cafe there.
Oh,
and it's
my
really,
goodness.
Really, and it's really good.
So people may think they're walking into the Four Seasons, Four Seasons Green Valley or the Ritz-Carlton is suddenly,
it's like a shopping mall,
but it's a private organization that runs and owns the hospital.
It is. They didn't get a major operator like Northwest or Carondelet or something like that.
They're getting outside diners?
Oh yes. Oh absolutely. And they play live music. So this is part of a community hospital being part of the community. And so it's very, very good food and very reasonably priced. I go there a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, the other big story about expanding educational opportunities for parents and their kids, Dylan. I.e. vouchers.
This is something we got into just a little bit toward the end of the interview with Mike Varney, but mm-hmm. The state of Arizona is going to implement a plan that will basically, you get beyond the jargon and everything, and it's vouchers that will funnel tax money to private schools on a scale that has been rather unprecedented.
Is this the time to be taking away from the traditional public schools?
Well, I mean, certainly public schools have had their problems. The wheels within wheels to explain all of that. You know, we don't have that much time left in the show, but whatever you're talking about in this state, education needs more money, needs more investment, needs more attention. It certainly does not need less.
And because we haven't given it the attention it deserves, why are we now criticizing parents who want to look for options? Now, I'm not a big fan of this voucher program, which is actually called an empowerment scholarship account, I think that if you're going to make that decision that's going to cost extra money, you should pay it yourself. And it is going to take away from the public schools, but let's face it, do we blame parents who want to pull their kids out of some public schools? Some of them are excellent. My daughter's a public school teacher. Some of them are terrific. We homeschooled our kids through eighth grade, then we sent them off to charter and public schools. So I've kind of been around the block on several of these things. So you can't blame parents for wanting the option, but yeah, it's going to hurt.
Well, this isn't about charter schools. This is about private schools getting public money.
And this offers an option.
And these private schools are not going to be set up in poor areas. They're going to be in upper-class areas and middle-class areas where people can afford to pay it. These vouchers are not going to cover the entire tuition. It's not like any private school operator is going to set up a campus, on Tucson's south side and convince people who are low income to pull extra money out to send their kid to a private school. That's not going to happen.
Right. I know lots of people who are sending their kids to private schools right now who are not rich, but they are creative. Let's face it, with, tax credits and with this is now going to help and with other means, is it going to benefit them probably more than others, maybe lower income people? Yeah, you can't deny that, but we can't say that this is just for the rich because it isn't. It is an option, but it's going to be painful for some people.
Robert has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hey, Bill, for either of your guests, and I'm only guessing here, but the new incoming president has medical connections.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's common knowledge by now that the U of A is only interested in medical advancements, copyrights, and patents. And the marching band and the students are all just a dog and pony show for that effort. And for a hiring freeze to to hire two diversity directors at that salary. I suppose one takes the day shift and one takes the night shift because you have to have diversity for that shift. But my
oops and
is,
ouch. Yeah.
Okay, I live four blocks from U of A. I cannot afford to send my child to get a university degree. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you guys this. How is it that more and more students keep coming at these rates?
Because, Robert, I'll answer that. You can't afford not to send your kid there because a university degree still is a ticket to a higher paying job and to getting into to certain fields. I completely agree with you. I think that you can't point to one problem like an overpaid president or too much attention.
That's just a tiny amount of the budget.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a symbol.
But I've always thought, and I've said it publicly, that if they cut their budget 20-30%, you'd find out what really is important to them and they could get to it. There's a ton of fat and overpaid people on that campus. And we always joke about that bubble over university campuses. It does exist.
Well, Robert certainly speaks for, I would say, a lot of people in this town,
well,
his sentiments.
When you compare tuition now to what it was back in the day, the slice of an average family's take-home pay, it's absurd how it's grown. It is not, kept pace with what most people bring home. It's grown by leaps and bounds.
But there is a winner in this bill, and I think the winner is Pima Community College because
yes.
Now people are going to look harder at that.
Yes.
I toured one of their campuses recently. Was very impressed by what I saw. Yep, they've had a lot of problems. They're digging out. They're doing well, but they still are providing a very solid education for about a third of the cost.
Amen. Dan Scheer, thanks for coming in, Dan.
Thanks.
And Dylan Smith, always a pleasure.
Absolutely, thanks.
Thanks a lot. We're going to hear from Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson, filling in for Matt Russell, who is enjoying a weekend, I think, up in Flagstaff. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Time for the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A very pleasant three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Historic downtown Silver City. Lots of good eating, some great restaurants. And, of course, after you have a great meal, go out and hike in the Gila National Wilderness. To check out the full listing of the many things to do, and the great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. The normal host of Weekend Watch is Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business. He is the food and beverage columnist, but filling in, and I'm sure very ably, visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. I mean, I'm not cavorting in Flagstaff like Matt, but still, I mean, I'm doing fine.
Well, you had a great holiday over in Paris. You enjoyed that, and then you came back to some good news, certainly for Visit Tucson, and it is the Weekend Watch. Tucson is one of the top 10 weekend destinations according to U.S. News and World Reports.
Yeah, great news. It's a lot of stuff happening all at once. There's a BBC Good Food, which is Britain's biggest food magazine, has a 4-page spread on Tucson in their most recent issue. It's all happening at once, and that's why we have all these great things happening in our city this weekend.
Can you give us a few clues?
Oh, yes, I can. I'm glad you asked. the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, wonderful place to visit anyway, they're having a party for the planet tonight. So if you don't have anything going on tonight, I'm going to give you too many options for tonight, but this is a really good one. 5:30 to 10 p.m., you could be at the Desert Museum. They're going to have beer samples, whiskey samples, tequila samples, wine samples. There's going to be plant and animal interpretations, a glow-in-the-dark hike. You can also, there'll be the Sunset Lounge. There'll be a DJ playing things off vinyl. You can do the Stingray Touch.
Wow.
It's a big event. It's a brand new thing for the people at the Desert Museum. So check it out. It's the first time they're doing it. It'll be a great time. It's for the 21 and over set. So just a heads up, but they do have a designated driver discount for if that's your thing.
It is.
Make your plans because it's far out there. Yeah.
It's an iconic Tucson destination. Should be fun tonight. What else, Dan?
Well, if you're more of a book person, and who isn't, I suppose, author Brian Smith is doing a reading. You may see him in the Tucson Weekly most recently. He has a book called Spent Saints. He's going to be doing a reading from that tonight, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Antigone Books. Brian is a great guy. He's a great writer. The book is spectacular. Absolutely, totally recommend it. If that's not your thing, I'm trying to give you too much to do tonight. I know you, Bill, often doing the popping and locking, the break dancing, as it were.
Get down.
Yeah. Exactly. The Get Down with Bill Buckmaster. At 191 Tool this evening, they have Breakin' 2017. DJs Herm and Alias will be playing all your favorite breakdance hits. They will be dancers. There is a $100 cash prize for the best dancer as judged by a panel of experts. The whole thing is a fundraiser for Flowers and Bullets, which is a organization that is building a midtown farm for youth to work on, things like that. It's a great program. It'll be a great fundraiser. And, you know, why not get down, have a good time? You know?
Yeah. I'm afraid if I got down on the hardwood, I wouldn't be getting
up. I can do maybe the robot, but that's about it.
You know, I need one of those things around my neck if I hit the floor. You know, help me. Give me some help. Anyway, I got time for another real quick one, Dan.
All right. So on a totally different note, Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m., the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Home Tour. If you go to samhughes.org, you can buy tickets. It runs from 12 to 5. It is a walking tour of the popular historic neighborhood. 10 residences, a talk by State Senator Steve Farley about mid-century modern, talks of new and interesting businesses, all that's happening in that area, you know, bordered by Campbell, Country Club, Speedway, and Broadway. Price is $25. If you're a member of the Neighborhood Association, only 15, get to see some beautiful houses. Why not? You can recover from the breakdancing walking around.
Good weekend to you. Thank you so much.
You too, sir.
All right. All right, where else can you buy, sell, and trade anything you want for free? Swap Shop, Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. right here on KVOI before Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our team here at KVOI, people like Ray Allen, Tom Fairbanks, Jerry Cross, Ed Alexander, Doug and Mary Martin, our fine front office staff, including Alicia, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, really a great team of people surrounding the Buckmaster Show and making it all possible. Have a great weekend.